Welcome back to another exciting episode of Behind the Paddle, the podcast where we dive deep into the personal journeys of prominent figures in pickleball. I'm your host, Rob Nunnery, and today we have a special guest who's been making big waves in the pro pickleball scene. Joining us is Federico Stacherud, an exceptional pro player whose journey from Argentina to the top ranks of pickleball has been an inspiring one. Federico started his athletic career in tennis, becoming one of the top-ranked junior players in Argentina before playing collegiately at the University of New Orleans and Tennessee Wesleyan. Fed has claimed the number one ranking in men's singles in the world with an absolute absurd amount of consistency here in 2024. And this episode will delve into Fed's junior career, his transition from tennis to pickleball, and all of the challenges that entailed, as well as diving into some of the challenges he's faced on the personal level as he has made big waves in pro pickleball. And he'll give us a little insight into why he thinks singles is actually the event of the future. As always, sit back, relax, and let's get into it with pro pickleball player Federico Stacherud. Welcome to Behind the Paddle.
We are Selkirk. We are pickleball.
Pickleball?
Yeah, pickleball.
All ages, family, friends, dinks, drives, Ernies, ATVs, and whatever this is. 10 years in and just getting started. Here and not going anywhere. We are you, and you are who we work for. Family-owned, USA-made, pickleball-proud. Selkirk Sport. We are pickleball.
Federico, here we are. We're, welcome to the show. I've been excited to get you on. I've been wanting to get you on. It feels right for a long time, but I'm glad we get to chat today.
Hey, thank you, Rob, for having me. I follow your podcasts. They're fun. The ones with Adam, they're really fun. So I enjoy them. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course, man. So you're from Argentina. It's a story similar to a lot of other players of, you know, the college tennis route and then kind of maybe a little coaching after and then trying to figure out what's next. And it looks like you stumbled into pickleball from there. But, you know, I'm really curious on, and I think the people listening probably don't know very much about kind of like your upbringing and life in Argentina before you came to the States. So I'd really curious to hear more about that.
Yeah, so I went to high school. I was going to high school in the morning. Then the afternoon was always tennis, you know, training like four to three hours in the afternoon, playing tournaments in the weekends, playing tournaments during the week. So that was kind of like my life. Always playing nationally. I never traveled that much. I just couldn't because of school and stuff. So, but I trained in this place where a lot of really good players, probably people don't know them that much, but like Ulises Blanch, he was number one in juniors. Juan Pablo Ficovic, he's like top 200 in the world. So I was really surrounded with really good players. I wasn't the best of them, but you know, that helped me like improve. And yeah, eventually when I was like 16, I was actually really good at that time. I was like, let's say top 40 in juniors under 16 when I was 15. When you're under 16, if you're really good when you're 15, that means the next year you're going to have a really good year. And I actually kind of like burn out of tennis. Like I was like tired of playing, you know, it was just too much for me. So I kind of like quit for a few months, and then the possibility of coming to the US became a reality. So that bring back my interest of like playing again and practicing again. So yeah, when I was 17, I played a full year. That was good. And 18, I just came to the US.
Nice. I think that's more common than people realize of that burnout level of, you know, you're doing it so much and you've been doing it from a young age. And then you're just like, yeah, it's tennis, like tennis burnout when you're like a teenager or like that. I mean, same thing happened to me where you're just like, man, I just kind of want to have a little bit of a normal life, like my friends,
Yeah, especially like, I mean, I started when I was like 8, training. 8 years old is like young age to start training. You know, you don't want someone
to take it seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it is what it takes if you actually want to, you know, like make a living out of being a professional. You know, it's not like pickleball or like you train for 2 years and you're good. You know, like now in tennis you have to be like it's kind of like a lifetime thing. So, but yeah, as you said, like the burnout just comes from like years and years of like missing summers where like your friends are going to the beach for like 2 weeks and you're like staying, you know, I'm practicing like 8 to 10, doing fitness 10 to 11, and then the worst part is that you do all that and that doesn't guarantee you anything. You start playing tournaments and you keep losing. You know, like tennis, there's these draws of 64 people and only one wins, so it's like it's such a not rewarding sport, you know. So at the same time, that, you know, like gives you a lot of good experience for a lot of things in life, you know. So I'm happy they did that, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, was that always, because it sounded like you stopped playing, like it didn't feel like your intention at like call it 14, 15 was necessarily to get a scholarship and come to the US. Was that a thought in the back of your head of like that as a goal, or like when you were a junior, what was your goal with tennis? Was it just to get as good as you could and see how far that would take you?
Yeah, I think 12 to 15 was always like, okay, I'm gonna be a professional tennis player. That was my line. I think that was the mistake in my parents' mistake was like they really didn't push me that much. You know how there's these parents that they will push you a lot, which is bad, and there's these parents that won't push you. I think like you gotta find it kind of like in between, which my parents never met the between. They always support me financially. They took me to all the tournaments, which was great, but they never like put a little bit of pressure on me, you know, like if I lose it's fine, you know. All the pressure was actually coming from myself. So then when I was 15, 16, I kind of realized like I'm not even traveling to like, you know, like Israel, Turkey, you know, to play futures. What am I doing? So I kind of realized that maybe I was not gonna make it. So I kind of lost a little bit of interest, you know, like when you are 16, 15 in Argentina, you also start like going out, you know, partying, you know, like you start to meet some girls and, you know, like distractions come. So, that kind of like that motivation went away. So,
yeah, with your parents, I think that's, I don't want to say unusual, but, you know, my experience growing up was a little bit of the opposite. It was like, yeah, they supported me financially. They took me to the tournaments, the travel, all of, you know, the practices, it's an expensive thing. I think back on it, like, oh man, that was like, cause you kind of like, or at least I did. I took it for granted as a kid. It was just like,
for sure,
this is just what I do. I play tennis, you know, like other kids play baseball or soccer. But you don't really connect the dots of like, oh man, this all costs a lot of money to do this. But with my parents anyways, I did feel a little bit of like that pressure, but like not in a good way, right? Like you said, there's got to be like a balance of like some parents push really hard and put a lot of pressure on the kids because they're spending this money. Other parents, like in your case, it sounds like we're happy to do it and we're happy to support you. And I don't know. I don't want to say they didn't care if you won or lost, but it didn't feel like they were like, all right, Fed, you need to go out and practice today because this happened, or you need to go run today, or, you know, that kind of thing. Why do you think, is that just kind of like a personality thing with your parents, or what do you think it was of them not pushing you?
Yeah, I think it's just like how the way they are, like they're just like more about like enjoy your life, you know, have fun. I think it's kind of, which I agree. Like for me, everything that I do is like needs to be fun. Yeah, you know, like life is too short to be like trying to complicate yourself and be sad. So I think like everything that you do should be like, you're doing this podcast because you think it's fun. You're not doing it because, you know, you have to, right? I mean, yep. So like, it's just, that's how they work. And, but at the same time, they were good at like I didn't want to go practice, you know, I didn't want to go practice on a Tuesday. And they were like, no, you're going to practice. They will throw me into the car and then throw me into the, but I feel like if they would have taught me like why I was doing that, you know, like the why. Why are you practicing? Why are you doing these things? You know, now I learned, you know, like I want to be really good at pickleball. That's why I go out and drill for like 3 hours a shot that before in tennis, I never drill backhands for 3 hours. You know, I will go out, train, and that's it. And then you didn't even think about it. But now with experience, you learn why you're doing certain things, which helps, you know.
No, it's that's such a good point. It's so interesting because you're right. Like same with me. I didn't understand the why of a lot of stuff. Like when I was a kid, it's like now it's like, okay, you want to go drill backhands because you know when you get into a match, you want to have that and rely on it and know that you're going to make it.
Yeah,
you know. And as a kid, you're just like, oh, I have to go to practice because that's what I do on Tuesday afternoons at 4 o'clock, and it's you're not really thinking about, you know, I'm doing this. So when that moment comes in a match that I'm prepared.
Like when you're a kid, you're not thinking about those things. You're thinking about like, I'm going to go play soccer on Saturday with my friends and like, or I don't know, all this different stuff that is not really helping you in your career, which you don't want to be thinking about just that when you're a kid, of course, but it's just it's tough, you know. I always say, like, if I knew these things when you were 14, everything's different. But if doesn't exist, so
What do your parents think about everything that's happening now with you and pickleball and the career you have?
Yeah, it's the same thing, right? Like when I started, they thought it was kind of like whatever. Like I remember, I have this memory in my brain. Domenico Geminiani, which is my friend that actually taught me pickleball, like literally gave me a paddle. He's like, hey, this is pickleball, these are the rules. He told me he was going to go to the PPA Orlando back in 2021. And I asked him like, hey, so how much are these professional tournaments? Like, how much are you paying? And he told me like, yeah, I'm paying like $250. You got to sign up for like 6 months before the tournament, because if not, you don't get in. And my father was there. He was with us. And he's like, nah, that's a joke, like that's a waste of money, you shouldn't do it. And then I was like, yeah, whatever. So that was September 2021. And then a few months later, I'm like, I want to try it. So that's when I played my first tournament, which I spent like, let's say $400 in entry fees. And they were like, what are you doing? You know, like you have a job, you shouldn't be spending this money, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's kind of like the, you know, like at the beginning it was kind of like shocking, you know, what are you doing? And then now, like, since I put effort and kind of like, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go all in. Now it's good. Now it's my full-time job. But yeah, they're happy. It's like, kind of like, you know, like Sundays or Saturdays, whatever it is, like they turn on the TV, I'm there. So they kind of like follow me and they are with me in a kind of a way. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you said you had a job. So let's call it pre-pickleball, or when you're just starting and messing around with it. I saw that did you get your master's in information technology, or what was the master's in?
So I finished my bachelor's and then I had 1 year. Everything was like visa related, you know, I'm not going to tell you that I was like in love with what I was studying. So
sure.
I did my bachelor's. I got a visa to work for a year, and then I had to go back to school. So I did an MBA with like data analytics emphasis. I did that took me like 2 years. Then I had one more year to work, and that was when in that year I found pickleball. But then I didn't have a visa because I couldn't get the visa yet for to be like a professional athlete or whatever. And then so I had to go back to school to do that information systems master's. I don't know why I did it. I thought it was pretty cool at that time. I think it was like the most interesting masters that was available in the school, so I did it for a few months. But then when pickleball started like taking off, I was like, I'm just gonna go, you know, do this, and I quit it, the masters. So yeah,
what would you be doing? What do you think you would be? Let's say pickleball never entered into your life, and you were in the masters program. What would you be doing today, do you think?
It's funny that you say that. I used to have a podcast with my friends in Spanish like 5 years ago, and we asked this question, and each one of us like said like what we see ourselves in a few years, and I said like I feel like I'm still looking into, like, something is missing in my life, you know, and that was crazy. Like, 3 years after, I found pickle. So it was kind of cool, like, that, and now it's my passion. But, like, if I say pickle will never appear in my life, will never appear in my life, I would say I will be probably teaching tennis, like, in a country club, kind of like that thing, trying to build myself up to be, like, a director or something, so... I just like to be outdoors. I think that's my thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is another thing that I kind of took for granted, just thinking about, like, the whole tennis thing and all the work you put in as a kid and then going to college. It's like, you always, like, you know, if push came to shove, let's say pre-pickleball, you always have tennis, right? It's such a good skill. It's just like a core skill that you, if you need to go make money tomorrow, you have that skill where you can do it. You don't have to go work for whatever, $12 an hour somewhere. Like you could make good money for the rest of your life just by having that skill. And I think, yeah, I mean, I think that's something I took for granted, but I'm really appreciative. And I think also now with pickleball, just getting to the level that you've gotten to, like, you're going to have, whether it's playing, whether whatever it is, you now have this, you know, pedigree and skill that you'll be able to honestly make a living the rest of your life with it, which is pretty sick.
Yeah. It's an investment, right? I mean, it's like, if your parents have put that money into the S&P 500, you know, for all those years, you probably be have a bunch of money too, but it's nice that they invested in it, in a skill that, as you say, you can use the rest of your life, which is awesome. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, what's been the, not necessarily just in pickleball, but what would you say has been your biggest failure to date? Whether as a kid growing up, whether in school, whether in pickle, what would you say has been kind of like, you're like, oh, that one, like not, but like a failure in respect to where, like, it really hurt?
I would say, like, it wasn't like a specific thing, but I think, like, through my whole life, I did things right, and then I let distractions get in the way of, like, certain goal. So I think, like, now with pickle, it's like, I have these goals and I want to achieve them, and I'm just going, you know, I'm enjoying the process of trying to get them, where before it's like, I had these goals, but I was like, if they happen, they happen. If not, whatever. I'm not gonna put myself in a tough position. So I think, like, through my whole life, which is not, I feel like since you, till you're like 25, 30, whatever it is, like, you get yourself, you know, like, where you just get distracted, you know, it's normal. And I think now I'm learning that I should just, you know, like, keep myself in good ways where I'm not, like, going out to party, and I'm not going, you know, like, if before a match, right? Like, I'm not going out till like 5 a.m., you know, like, I'm not, you know, like, eating burgers and fries before a match, that kind of stuff. I think there's not, like, a certain thing that I'd be like, I regret this, because I think the core decisions, I did them right. Like, I was 17, I decided to come to the U.S., and that ended up being well. When I was 12, I decided to just focus on tennis and change schools, you know, which was tough at the moment. But, like, that's my failure was that, like, just letting distractions get in the way of, like, my actual main goals. Yeah.
What were some of the specific distractions that got in the way? And what were, I mean, I suppose, what were some of the goals that you had set for yourself that they took you away from?
Like, for example, I would say, like, when I was a sophomore, I was playing NAIA, and I decided to go to play to a D1. I was feeling good with my tennis, so I transferred. I did a great preseason back home in Argentina, played great in the fall, and then, like, I don't know, I just started gaining weight. It was crazy. I was like 10 pounds heavier in the spring. I think about it now, I'm like, what I was doing, you know, why wasn't I amazingly fit to play in the spring? Yeah, the surroundings were not good, you know, like, the team chemistry wasn't there, the coach wasn't the best, you know. Like,
and you were in New Orleans. A lot of distractions in New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I was going out Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. I mean, it was ridiculous, you know, all of us. And yeah. Now I think about it, I'm like, why I wasn't the guy that was like, hey, guys, we shouldn't go out, you know? I like, now you think about it.
Yeah.
But in the moment, you go with the wave, you know? It's like, whatever, let's go out. Like, it's fine, you know? But yep. Now you learn these things, you know?
Yeah, it's also, yeah, I can relate to that because it's hard in that setting where, especially like when you're on a new team, right? You're the new guy,
yeah, exactly.
And you're surrounded by guys, and that's kind of already the culture of the team. And you don't want to be, you want to fit in, and you want guys to like you.
Yeah.
So exactly. It's also, yeah, it's a tough thing in terms of bonding with the team.
And it's crazy how many stupid things we do just for people to like you, you know? Which,
yeah,
who cares, right? Who cares?
100%. What are you most like, I guess, in terms of your goal, so you mentioned goals,
yeah.
what are your goals, right now, whether it's pickleball, whether it's life, yeah. What are you shooting for?
Yeah, I'm trying to, I mean, my main goal in pickleball is, of course, everybody's going to say like, I'm going to try to be the best version of myself, whatever, but I'm trying to make a career where I want to be playing for at least 10 more years, you know, hopefully professional pickleball survives, I guess, or just keeps going. But I would like to, you know, like at least play 5 more years of singles, which I really enjoy. And I think singles could potentially be the future of pickleball, and play 10 years of this and make it like a real, you know, like a professional athlete career, which I think will be pretty cool. Like short-term goals, of course, is like be number one in single, like hopefully win the title, you know, win a doubles title with Rachel and Paolo. I think that'll be pretty cool. So yeah, those are my shorts, but yeah.
You mentioned, yeah, singles may be the future, and yeah, I mean, I think as a pickleball purist, and like, you know, it's a primarily a doubles social type game, but I don't disagree with you in terms of it's the easiest transition to get people watching pickleball from like that are used to watching tennis. It makes more sense, right? Like they're watching and they understand what's happening and what you're doing, and the points are shorter and they're more athletic. And And doubles can, yeah, spectator-wise on a stream or on TV, it's like unless you play and like are really dialed into it, you don't really know what's happening. It looks pretty boring. Is that why you think singles might be the future?
Yeah, I think there's three different factors. First, the first factor is the game is doubles because 5 years ago only 80, 70-year-olds were playing. You know, you're not going to see an 80-year-old playing singles. It will be ridiculous, right? And I think, like, right now the game is getting younger, so you're going to see, like, kids of, like, you know, like, 10-year-old, like, 15, playing singles pickleball, and you're going to see really cool points. Like, I played yesterday some points with this kid, Cason Campbell. I mean, the kid is amazing, you know, like, and 1 year ago, he was fighting in the qualifiers, and now he's like a top guy, you know. So I think that's how the transition is gonna, you know, like it's gonna get more athletic, and it's gonna be, you know, like the ATPs and the single side, like the recovery, that kind of like points are really fun. I think like that's gonna be the future because of that. Also, like right now, like everything that we watch, like YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, everything's fast, you know. It's like quick. We don't want to spend like 3 minutes of like a backhand video, dance. You know, want to see something 20 seconds interesting, gone, you know.
Yeah.
Like even like in padel, when you watch points, you're gonna see like the end of the point because the points are so long sometimes that you want to see like the craziness, and that's it, fun, okay, let's move on to the next thing. So I think those are like the athletic is gonna get younger, and just how fast, you know, like and fun it is to watch it. you know.
Yeah. In terms of, and I don't want to go too far into pickleball here, but in terms I asked, but in terms of like the paddle technology, I think, I don't know. We talked about this on the It Feels Right podcast, and Greg Dow actually brought it up. What are your thoughts on dialing back the power of some of these paddles? I would say a significant amount to where you don't have the pop, but you really dial up the spin. So you can use angles more. It shows athleticism more. With the power of the paddles and it only getting faster, it does lend itself to shorter points, and I think it takes away from seeing some of the athleticism.
With the amount of power, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think power-wise, I think we are reaching the limit. I think a little more power is going to be tough, like, to watch, right? Like, we're going to see where... I feel like if we increase the amount of power, we're going to start seeing just people, like, returning and staying back in singles, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like if a guy is just hammering passing shots, then I'm not going to return and go to the net, you know? I'm going to return, stay back, and, you know, it's going to be a little more like singles, like tennis style, you know? But...
yeah, it's like the kind of the transition of when, you know, you had like Sampras and Rafter and they were serving and volleying, but racket technology changed, strings changed, and now those guys, like, the returns were just too good. And the game evolved to where it turned into more of a baseline game, and you rarely see guys coming into the net now in tennis. I could see it being the same in pickle of you just don't go to the net as much because you know that the guys have such good passing shots.
Imagine, I mean, that could be doubles too, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like you can choose to, like, okay, I'm going to just stay here because I'm going to get, I mean, which happens, right? Bekel serves a bomb. Sometimes you have to stay back, right? Which before you would think that that's crazy, you know? Who will stay back in doubles?
Yep.
But I think that's good that this is happening, right? Like the technology, you know, like the changes. Not many people are watching pickle, honestly. So I feel like it's good that we're we're trying new things and we're just figuring out what works best, you know? Like, if you watch singles pickle like 3 years ago, you will think that's kind of like a joke. Like, the points are so bad, you know? Now we go to a limit where it's like, okay, this is fun, you know? Like, my match with John, man, that was a fun match. I watched it like 2 times, and that was like, okay, that's fun to watch. Like, the match of Connor with Ben, I think it was last year, that was a fun match to watch. Like, there's these matches that now they're fun. Like, I enjoyed it, you know? I really enjoyed it. Where in doubles, like, you tell me, hey, sit down and watch this doubles game, I'm like, I just can't, man. Like, I really can't. It's like, it's nice to watch them live sometimes, but, like, in YouTube, this just doesn't, you can't relate. Like, you don't know how to stop.
Yeah. So do you see pickleball moving to being more of primarily a singles showcase sport? Like, you know, tennis, singles is the main event, right? Doubles and mixed is like, it's an afterthought kind of.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's tough because the tours make everything possible to just make to make it a doubles game, right? Like, singles is played Thursday. Usually on Sundays it's play like the first match or the last match, like, no one cares. When it's a progressive draw, it's play in the morning where people are the least watching. So right now it's kind of like singles is fighting against everything, right? Like, but I mean, honestly, I think in one year singles is gonna be the main, like, in 1 year I think it's gonna be the main showcase, honestly, I think.
All right, so now I'm here to talk to you guys about Selkirk backpacks. I probably shouldn't have to talk to you about them. I mean, you see them, you know, it's enough of an ad to see them at all these tournaments. I mean, it seems like everybody's got one, and I actually think they're the best. You know, I'm always begging Rob to send me more. I've got like 4 or 5 backpacks. They last so long too. I think the biggest thing about Selkirk backpacks is that they're really durable, especially with me. I mean, I'm putting as many paddles as possible in the backpacks. I've got gallons of coffee in the backpacks, sweaty shirts. I've done everything possible that you shouldn't do to a backpack, to a Selkirk backpack, and I've had it now for 2 years. So I'm a huge proponent of the Selkirk backpacks. I think the Tour Line ones especially are very good. They look cool. They look sleek. I personally like the black ones. I'm known to bring two of them on court every match. So yeah, these are just my personal opinions on the Selkirk backpacks. I also think the Team Line is good. And yeah, I think if you want one, get one, because they're going to last you quite a while. And they also look pretty cool. And they don't necessarily just look like a pickleball backpack either. I mean, I can wear them pretty much and bring them wherever. And it doesn't really, you know, it kind of just fits in with any other backpack that you would have. So
That's an interesting take, and not one I really expected to hear from you. Do you still like, because your doubles games obviously come really far.
Sorry, I enjoy playing doubles more.
Yeah, no,
doubles
but you
is more fun to play.
100%, 100%. But you just TV. You feel viewership wise, yeah, singles probably needs to be the main product.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Which is crazy, right? Like. It's crazy that people actually enjoy more playing doubles, but like I'm telling you this because I have so many friends in Argentina that they don't know anything about pickle, and they say singles is fun, doubles is boring. That's it. That's what they tell me. You know?
Yeah, and I think that's a common take from people that are watching that don't know anything about pickleball, right? Even watching tennis doubles on when it's on TV, I'm like, this is boring too.
Tennis doubles is terrible.
So it's so boring to watch. So I can imagine that's what a lot of people are thinking about pickleball doubles too.
Yeah, I think like doubles in MLP is fun though when you have that atmosphere of like the team, like, and that happens. The same thing happens in tennis with the Davis Cup. In the Davis Cup, when they play doubles, it's so much fun. Like, I don't know why it is, but it's fun to watch that. But yeah, I was in the Miami Open. I was watching doubles. I'm like, this is pretty bad. Like, this is boring.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And I think that's a good take, and it certainly might go that way. You think in a year, huh?
I think next year, singles is going to be – people are going to be following singles a lot. I think.
All right. Off the tennis. I couldn't help myself, but what would you say?
I think you're frozen.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll get back on track here. Digging back into your more of your personal journey.
Yeah.
What would you change about yourself if you could?
Pretty happy about how I am, but I would say I think we talked about it earlier, like, try not to care that much of what people think, you know, of me. I think at the end of the day, sometimes I try to keep everyone happy when the only people that you should care about keeping happy is your, you know, whatever it is your girlfriend or your close friends and your family, you know. And sometimes I'm trying to, you know, make sure everyone is happy surrounding me, which I don't think is your job to do that. You know?
Yeah. Do you get, just like with talked about YouTube and social and all this, do you get like bad comments, or do you read them, or like, do you, like, what are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I read, but either like social media doesn't affect me at all. Like, as you can see, like, I always comment on your post, like, something always funny. Like, for me, it's kind of like a game. Like, I don't know, like, yeah. I play, like, I just like to laugh, like, in social media. Like, I don't take it seriously. Like, if you see all my posts,
everything's so silly. It really is.
I know, all my posts are like, they look serious, but I mean, honestly, I probably, everyone knows, like, I don't do that. I have Iker, which is my social media guy that, you know, like, does everything for me, and I don't even pay attention to them. Like, so, yeah.
You just pop on and comment on stuff.
Yeah, that's the only thing I do. I mean, I just see stuff that I think is funny, and I comment, and I enjoy doing that. So I'll probably keep doing it, you know?
Speaking of that, I miss all of your stuff on Twitter or X, whatever it is now, it's always too good. Got to get back on there.
Yeah, so I wanna clarify what's going on there. I have Twitter in my X, sorry, in my phone, but somehow my account got logged out and I don't know the password, so I only have X in my iPad. So I just have have my iPad with me everywhere I go and stuff.
Which is a little tougher, yeah. Just walking around with an iPad.
And especially when I want to tweet something in the airport, and if I have it in my iPad, like, everyone is looking at me like, what are you guys thinking about? Like, I think the drop serves to stay. Like, what is going on?
Reset that password. Good God.
No, I tried.
It's a tough position.
Like, I have like an email that I can't log in. It's crazy.
Got it.
I need to meet Elon Musk through Pickleball and try to figure out how.
Just please help me log in. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, because that's that was some of my I think it's fun when you're on there because you always have funny stuff to say.
No, yeah, I like X. That was my favorite platform for sure. Before
it's mine by far. Yeah.
Yeah. Threads is not it.
Yeah. It's not it. Right? Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I don't even really go on there. I think X is just it's just
It's awesome. And you get like the news like right off, like if you want to know about what's going on in the war, it's just amazing.
You find it immediately. Yeah.
In 1 minute. Yeah. It's like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the format of it. I think you get like it's just short text is perfect because you could say so much by saying so little.
Honestly, it's my fault that I'm not in it because I feel like it's actually a great way because I follow all my like favorite athletes.
Yeah,
like I feel like it's a great way of actually like getting to know them, the real like in Instagram you're not following that, you know, you're following their brand. Yeah. But in Twitter, you're following the person, you know, like they tweet about, like, you can get Nick Kyrgios tweeting about, like, I just lost a Call of Duty game, you know, like something like that. Like,
yep.
Which I think
it's them. Cool. And
it's
oftentimes,
exactly.
And oftentimes with Insta, it's just your social media person posting. And
Yeah.
What does your morning routine look like? Do you have a specific morning routine?
Well, that's something that if you ask me like what I want to change, I would like to have like more of a regimen, you know, that I can follow. So my morning routine really depends on what time I'm practicing because, like, for example, yesterday I did drills like at 7 a.m. So I wake up at 6, I just go, you know, I didn't even have breakfast. So it's kind of tough, like, because you drill whenever you can find someone on, you know, we're not tennis professionals where we have like our coaches.
Hitting partner and yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like my day-to-day changes a lot, but morning routine, I would say it's just, I don't have like something where I wake up, you know, like meditate for like 10 minutes, read the newspaper, which I would like to, you know, I think that's really beneficial, but yeah, I don't really have a morning routine.
Yeah. There's I look back on like some of the times in my life where I feel like I don't know what you would call it, most accomplished, most like times where it just felt like, you know, I was crushing it. And I read this book called Miracle Morning, and this was it's a book written by this guy named Hal Elrod, but it basically like walks you through like a pretty great morning routine. I think and it goes through like meditation, like visualization, which I think's very important. Even it's like, you know, it's not related to call it sports or pickleball, but I think visualization and pickleball is super important too. You know, seeing the match before it happens, like visualizing the shots you want to hit. But like in this respect, it was more of like visualizing the person that you want to be, how you carry yourself day to day, where you see your future being, what you want to have, like that kind of stuff. And then it's read for 10 minutes, write for 10 minutes, and then do some form of exercise for like 30. But I remember like when I was doing that, and I would wake up at 5 or 5:30 to do that. And I had to do like all these little tricks. Like I set my, because right, like the alarm's going off at five, like it's hard to get up. So I'd set my phone like across the room where I'd have to get up to,
turn it off,
put my shoes, like my tennis shoes, like right by the bed. So I have to put them on right when I get out of bed, just like little tricks like that to make it happen. But I just remember back to like when I did that, like that's when I was just like, man, like I'm getting so much done before anybody else is even awake. And that's like a pretty powerful feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Waking up, it's a tough thing. But like, as you said, like if you have something that motivates you to do it, you know, like it's just such an advantage. Like if you like playing pickleball and you wake up to do that, then you actually do wake up, you know, even if you're tired, you do it. But
yeah, like gotta have some kind of purpose behind it though. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Visualization is I do it. I was shout out to my friend Yubi. He actually taught me that. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, looking at the court before you play, you know, like the shots, you know, like that's really beneficial. And meditation is so good for me. Like I always try to think about like 7-10 different things. So it just brings you in the moment and it's just so nice. Yeah.
What would you say?
It's tough to do it, no?
Five minutes.
It's just, yeah.
Just sitting and trying to keep your mind still. Like, especially like you talked about, everything's like our attention spans are so short and we're so used to like consuming anything and everything that it's hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, if it was easy, everyone would do it. And, you know,
everybody would be chill.
It's kind of like the same thing. Yeah. You know?
What's been going on in your life recently that you've expected to happen, but also that you didn't expect to happen?
That's a tough one. I feel like I always expect everything to happen. That's the problem. I always expect like all the different scenarios, but I'm just happy with things are going, you know, like my family is healthy. I mean, have a good relationship with my girlfriend, like my sister about to graduate from college. I have a job, you know, I'm doing decent amount of money doing it. So it's cool, you know, so I'm kind of like always like on the defense of, okay, something bad has to happen, right? I mean, it can't be that good. So I'm always like, let's see, let's be ready for it. So
it's a really good mindset to have. I don't think there's anything wrong with actually thinking about the bad things that could happen, because it makes you grateful that they haven't happened. Right. And like, you're like, oh yeah,
yeah.
Everybody's healthy. I'm doing okay. I'm healthy. The people I love are good. Yeah, but you're right. I think something's going to happen someday though, you know,
exactly.
Will happen in life. It's going to happen. And if you're not thinking about it at all, it's going to blow you away. Right. And it could really hurt you. But if you're thinking about it, you're already, you know, you're prepared in a sense.
Yeah. But yeah, as you say, like, it's important that you acknowledge when things are going good, because if not, it's like your whole life is just like suffering, you know, like you got to enjoy when things are good, you got to enjoy it, you know, like, in your own way. But yeah, I agree. Yeah. 100%.
It's like, I don't know if you've dealt with like any injuries or stuff that's put you out, but like when, like my knee, for example, it's like,
yeah,
you don't really think about it when you're healthy and you're moving fine, right? Like you're not like, oh, look, my knee works. But when you get hurt and you realize, oh man, it like hurts to take a step, and you're like, all I want it like is to be able to just move it without hurting. It's hard to appreciate a healthy body until something breaks, and then you're like, oh yeah, it's all I want is for it to be able to walk properly.
That's crazy. And then, when you get injured, like you actually come down to earth, like you don't think about the possibility, right? Like I never had an injury like yours, but I could imagine, right? Like it's like, it just brings you down like, okay, these things actually happen, right?
Yeah, you're like, oh, now my body doesn't work as it always has or how I've expected. And it's, but I think when you are healthy, like you, for example, that haven't dealt with an injury, yeah, I guess it's tough in that respect because you don't understand the other side of it. But yeah, I just remember like when you get hurt, it's just like when I was healthy, I was just like, man, just be grateful that like everything is working.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I have a little bit of a dramatic personality of like, if I get sick, I act like, why am I sick? Like, why me? Sure. You know, like, and yeah, it's like, bro, you have a cold for like 4 days. You know, it's not like, like, what are you doing now? You know, like,
so yeah, here's a tissue. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I know, but I want to practice, you know, because I'm really that kind of personality that I want to be like out doing something, which helps, you know? So.
So I know you did some, like, I saw some SQL coding. Like, were you into kind of like software development type stuff pre-pickleball? Was that an interest?
Yeah. So I was like, so I did the data analytics emphasis, and that's when I started getting into it a little bit. And then I kind of like started learning how to code and stuff, but it's just kind of like everything went downhill when I started playing big old. Like I just didn't have time and energy, you know, because it's just not like, all right, I'm going to learn Italian and I'm going to sit here and just do it for one. Like when you're like, that's what I felt like when I was learning to code, like I was like, I got to have my mind like 10,000, you know, percent in it, you know? I didn't have it anymore.
Same with pickleball, right? It's like, you know, pickleball is, I imagine it was the same way with pickleball in terms of being all consumed with it and like wanting, like you said earlier, like understanding the why behind it now, because if I go practice, I can get better. I can win. I can make more money. I can have a career playing a sport. Like, but yeah, you have to have that kind of all consuming mindset, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, my, there was a moment where I was doing so many things. It was crazy. I mean, I was like going to my full-time job. It was like 8 to 5, then teaching tennis from like 6 to 8:30, and then going to actually play pickleball from like 9 to 10:30 with CJ Klinger. You know, like I would go up there and play singles with him for 1.5 hours after I worked like the whole day. But it wasn't like, it was crazy because if you think about it, like your body should be tired. Like I didn't feel tired because I actually loved doing it. So it's like your mind just keeps you going and going. It's just crazy when you think about it that way. Yeah. You know?
It's you think about people that do stuff because they have to make to earn a paycheck. And then you think about the people that like love doing what they're doing. And I think, yeah, those people are always going to come out on top just because it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, how many hours you spend on, it's like, it's not more about the hours. It's just more about getting your stuff done. You know, like, let's say like, how many hours you practice a day? I practice till I get this done. You know, if I practice till I'm going to get the, I don't know, backhand flick dialed in, you know? So then you don't even realize it's been 3 hours of that and you're just doing it, you know? I mean,
yep.
It's tough if you don't see it the way this person is, you know, like it's actually, this person is actually enjoying, you know?
Who's your favorite person to practice with?
Like a rec game or like a...
Like drilling.
Drilling. I actually don't enjoy drilling with other players that much because you have to like... you have to like focus on them too. Like, let's say like if I go out to practice with you, like we're going to do... I'll do drops and then you're going to take drops, right? I like to have a person that is all on me. So like I happen to pay people and just drill for me, you know?
Yeah. So somebody that doesn't want anything out of it for themselves.
Andre Daescus is a good example of like the guy we go out to play like red games, and the guy is giving like 100%, and it's just great, you know. Like Christian Allison, same thing, you know. Like they are like really into it, and that makes the practice just feel like a tournament, you know. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's it's a real thing. Good rec players that actually take it seriously and play the right shots and don't do silly stuff. Because there's so much of that, you know. It's like that's like playing rec with Colin Johns. It's like he'll speed up every other ball, and it's like you never do that. What are you doing?
I know. Colin's crazy. It's just insane. He's like, yeah, I'll practice here, but you're not gonna do it in the tournament. So why would you do it here, right?
So okay, big question here. In the last 5 years, yes. What new belief or behavior or habit has most improved your life?
I think with pickleball, just realizing that it's kind of like this last shot at doing like a sports kind of thing and actually being like a player, kind of like changed my mindset, like, and my priorities, you know. Like it's just like I'm never gonna get another chance of playing at anything, you know, after pickleball. I mean, I don't know, maybe, you know, like I become a professional bowling player, I don't know, but like it's not like seriously talking, like I don't feel like this is like kind of like that last chance, and that made me change the priorities, and it's crazy how your mind works towards that, you know. So that's not really a belief, but that's what, I don't know if that's a truth answer to your question.
Yeah, I think, what are your thoughts on, I think if you look at other sports that have many more eyeballs on it, call it like the WNBA, for example, like you have Caitlin Clark that's going to go as the number one pick, and she's like a household name almost at this point. And her salary, I think her starting salary in the WNBA is $76,000.
Crazy.
With pickleball and the money that's being thrown around, do you have a real fear of this, like the pro aspect of this sport, like surviving?
It's not a fear. It's just, it's a reality, right? I think like if they can't make any revenue, eventually it's gonna stop. But I mean, I am like, let's say if pickleball ends today, I'm happy with what I did. I mean, I took it really professional, and I did things right, and I'll go and teach clinics, and that kind of like that career will move on. I feel like pickleball will never die, you know, like pickleball as a game is gonna keep going, and amateurs are gonna play. I do think it's really tough for pickleball to die today, but it's not a fear. It's just like, I think it's a reality. If that happens, it happens, but I'm gonna do my 100% till that day, you know.
Yep. I like that. So just to kind of wrap it up here.
Yes.
Well, a couple things. If you had the attention, so one more question here, and then we're going to do a little rapid fire. If you had the attention of the whole world for a few minutes, what would you say? What would be your message? It's a big question.
There's so many wars going on, and you ask me that. No, just to say, like I said it before, I think this life is about having fun and not caring that much of what people think about you. Honestly, like I really think that's, if like happiness is just so important. And yeah, just relate with people that you're happy with. I heard this guy from Argentina, actually, that he talked about what happiness it is. And happiness is kind of like the relationships that you have with people, you know, like that kind of like, it's not like buying cars, watches, you know, that's not going to give you anything, but the relationships that you have with. And I'm really grateful for people. Like, I met so many people. So that's why I'm like, if people, professional people ends today, I mean, the amount of friends and people that I met along the way in like just 2 years, you know, it's just, I'm going to be forever thankful. So yeah, I'm just happy with what I had that.
No, I love that. I think, I think you're right. I think relationships and people you come in contact with and make an impact on, made like how you made them feel. Like, I always think about, and I don't always like the answer of it for myself, but I always try to think about, like, you know, if you were to die, like like thinking about the people that would come to your funeral, you know what I mean, like who would come, why, like did you make, like, so I try to keep that kind of in the back of my mind of just like, be like, try to make a positive impact on others and make them feel good and connect with them and just try to be as good of a person as you can. So, I love that.
I like it.
All right, rapid fire. Then we will get you out of here so you can go train some singles.
There you go.
The future. All right. The last future. TV show that you binged and liked.
Sorry, say that again. That I watched.
The last TV show or, you know, Netflix series, whatever, that you binged and liked?
Suits. There you go.
Suits. Louis Litt.
Yeah, Louis Litt. Need them up.
Favorite movie?
I would say, Lord of the Rings.
I like it. What would you say is your biggest guilty pleasure?
Ice cream from Argentina.
Oh, it's different.
It's insane.
How's it different?
You gotta go. One day you gotta go and you'll see.
Okay. I got motivation now to go to Argentina. Chick-fil-A, Zaxby's, or Cane's?
No, I don't even know what's Cane's, so Chick-fil-A.
Canes, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Kings. So yeah, Chick-fil-A.
No, Chick-fil-A. Yeah, same. What's the most adventurous thing you've done in your life?
The most what, sorry?
Adventurous.
I'm not that kind of guy, but it's not adventurous, but we went to Dubai with my father and my brother, and I think that was pretty cool, like, to see such a different culture, you know?
Yeah. All right. Last one. Besides phone or wallet, what's one thing you can't live without?
I have my phone. Everything I need. But right now, my pickleball paddle. If I don't have my pickleball paddle, then I'll be in trouble.
That's very true. All right. Thanks so much, Fed. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Hey, thank you. That was fun. Thank you, Rob.